The show that doesn't grab them by the but does occasionally kick them in the balls. It's the Shaggy Jenkins Show on the Pacifica Radio Network.
It's the Shaggy Jenkins Show on the Pacifica Radio Network. Welcome to it. Boy, today do we have a lot of stuff to cover, including, yeah, it finally happened. The Mueller report has been released. The Mueller report has been released, and we didn't really learn crap from it yet. We'll also talk about Barbara Streisand, Diana Ross, and a little guy called Michael Jackson. And who knows, we might throw in another story just for laughs and giggles. Before we get to all of that, some brief introductions are in line. Hi, I am your host. My name is Shaggy Jenkins. I'm a critical thinker, a problem solver, guy just left of normal and sane, and always found on social media at Shaggy Live and my website, ShaggyJenkins.com. This guy can be found in a classroom, in a grocery store from time to time, or just feeling immense sense of pity for the show host. Please welcome former politician, current educator, and all-around swell guy from the District of West Texas. It's Drew Landry.
Hey, good to be back, Shaggy. What's up?
Okay, so this week we get to start off with a fun little story, and that story is the Mueller report was released. The Mueller report was released. Drew, initial thoughts before we go into the letter that Bob Barr actually sent Congress.
Yeah, my initial thing was, yeah, okay, all right, yeah, all right. That's kind of, I mean, I didn't really have much of a feeling one way or the other, but that was my initial thought was, well, either it's going to be exactly what one side wants, or it will be exactly what one side wants. So the president comes out kind of squeaky clean, but not entirely squeaky clean. And, you know, we'll get more into this because of, you know, what the attorney general wrote to Congress, this four-page synopsis of this very large report. So, you know, so that was my initial thought. What did you make?
I made paper mache because as soon as I... No, I'm going to be honest, Drew. The funny thing about the Mueller report being released is, like, a lot of people, like, including friends, I actually have friends. My friends were just like, oh, Shaggy, you know, you guys in the media, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? The report's come out. You can't make any guesses about it anymore. You can't make any, you know, supplications about it anymore, any inferences or anything. It is what it is from now on. And because it is what it is from now on, am I being invaded by helicopters here? Because it is, I'm sorry, we actually have groundskeepers out today, but because it is what it is today, with this report, I actually was kind of excited for it for one reason, and that is the end of assumption. What does that mean for the country now that we are post the assumptive Mueller report world?
Boy, there's a lot to take from that. We don't have to speculate anymore. We know... you know, what to is really going to be expected here. And, you know, it's, you know, what the next steps of Congress will be upon this. I mean, we've heard from some Congress people that they're going to subpoena Bob Mueller and, you know, ask direct questions and how they want the whole thing released. So, but I think, you know, you can either find a blueprint for the president on this, or there might be those who will say, okay, look, there's a blueprint to go into more about the obstruction and to think about how that's going to really work out. So I think you're going to find an interesting diversion here.
Yeah, because when it comes to interesting diversions, here's the thing. Trump has already took the major step of saying this exonerates me. This is good that it's over because it was bad for the country. And then he goes on and says it was really bad that your president had to go through this. Well, yeah. Not to sound like, you know, logical, but if our president wasn't such a conniving asshat, we wouldn't have had to went through the Mueller report. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. I have to say this, just off topic. When anyone ever says the term asshat, I think of South Park and the third grade teacher and his little puppet fingers, and he has, you know, Hi, Mr. Hat. You know, that's what I think of whenever people say that. So that's kind of, you know, rather indicative of the president that, you know, because that's kind of how he was acting here. You know, he was very abrasive about the entire thing when it came to this investigation, his role with Russia, and whether he obstructed justice in any way. And he, you know, he attacked the entire thing from the very beginning, and he's still attacking it now. And as we know from past several weeks, it doesn't even matter if you're dead, he'll still attack you.
Yeah, I know. By the way, how bad is it that you're getting your ass kicked by a dead guy?
That's really bad. But really according bad. To the president, he don't mind. So,
yeah. Well, look, here's the thing, because Bob Barr did kind of directly countermand what the president said in one statement. Remember how I said the president took to Twitter and said, hey, this completely exonerates me and completely exonerates, you know, Russia and myself's role. But Bob Barr's Bob Barr's menu. Yep, he's serving up a hot plate of barbecue and treason. No.
He seems more like an Arby's guy. I don't know.
Yeah. No. Because it was a summary report, so it was literally like, look, here's the meat. But when it comes to what the meat of the Mueller report said, now keep in mind, Congress, both Senate and House, is now, and bipartisan, by the way, is very interested in getting not only the full report, but all the working notes that compiled that report. In other words, what they're calling full documentation.
Right.
But here's the thing. In his summary, we didn't even have to wait for this part. In his summary, the guy that everybody said would be an obstructionist, Bob Barr, said, while this report does not draw any direct ties between President Donald Trump and the IRA, and we'll explain them in a sec, that it was the Russian group that did all the internet stuff. They were on the web. But besides all of that, we didn't find any direct coalition between Trump, his campaign officials, or anybody directly contacting the IRA. However, when it comes to the obstruction of justice charge, Mueller actually said in his report, I cannot exonerate the president in this regard.
Yeah.
Drew, when the president says I've been exonerated, and then the guy that wrote the report, and the other guy, the attorney general, who you appointed to cover your acole, when both of these guys go and say, nah, you're not really exonerated. How do you imagine Trump's going to play that come, you know, the next news cycle?
You know, I have to give the president credit on this. He's good at owning the news cycle and people just automatically going to what he tweeted. So, you know, he'll want to move on with it and he'll say, look, I've been exonerated. There's no evidence to say that I did this, so I'm good. And that's kind of what politicians do, is that you tell your version of the truth and you just keep repeating it over and over and over again until it becomes part of the message. So in all truthfulness, though, what this really means is that, you know, there could be some more investigations over this whole aspect of obstruction. And another thing that we didn't even have to wait for at all deals with the fact that Mueller and the AG and the Justice Department made it very clear that Russia meddled or attacked in our elections. There was no question about it. There was nobody else involved. It wasn't China. It wasn't Canada. It wasn't some Eskimo somewhere else. It was the Russians. It was through the IRA. And it was even through collusion with WikiLeaks. And that was even made clear, too. So you got WikiLeaks in Russia colluding here, but no aspects of Trump. And you have to wonder how, you know, okay, I understand the words that you're telling me, but can you connect those dots and can you explain to us why that is? Now, maybe that'll be in the full report, but in that summary, he doesn't really go into much detail as to how that is. But going back to your initial question, I think the obstruction and how he wasn't completely exonerated, he wasn't completely implicated either. So I think this is going to leave some wiggle room for Congress to want to go further and really try to get to the truth as to what happened.
Yeah, because this is the important thing to consider. Because the report essentially says the hacking did happen. It was coordinated from the highest channels of Russian government all the way through a little bitty agency called the Internet Research Agency. The IRA, as it was, they're the ones that actually put all of this stuff together. And when they put all of this stuff together, it painted a weird picture during our election of literally social media determining who was going to be the president.
Now, that's right.
Here's the thing, Drew. They did this by, you know, there's this movie that, and I love this movie. It was The King of Polka. Have you ever seen it?
I think I missed it.
Darn. I thought we were simpatico on this whole polka thing.
Oh, you know, I missed the whole polka revolution. I think it was before my time.
Well, Jack Black plays the Jan Levon. He was a basically a polka singer who got convicted of doing a Ponzi scheme with polka music. I am not making that part up.
I got to watch this now. This is... Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But anyway, he talks about one of his polka concerts, right? And he's doing the polka and he's doing the concert and he goes, you know, anytime someone stirs the pot, anytime I look up, Mincy is the one with the spoon. That is what this report basically said. Anytime somebody wants to stir the fecal matter, as it were, what the report actually says is it was either Trump, an agent, or Russia always holding the spoon in all of these fecal matter stirring events. So, knowing that ye who holds the spoon controls ye pot, the Mueller report did not necessarily exonerate Trump. So, when we talk about wiggle room, I want to bring into the conversation at this point, what does this mean for the Southern District of New York?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question. I think that's going to bring out some more wiggle room for them. I think that's going to really, you know, get to the heart of seeing those his business dealings, getting to his tax returns. Give us these dots, give us their connections, and you know how far will the implications of criminal actions go when it comes to this president and his actions?
Yeah. Because, look, this is the thing. When we're talking about the president getting implicated in stuff, they're not directly implicating him with any involvement to the IRA. And
right.
I want all of us to take a moment and go, whoa. Because here's the thing. For the longest time, the mainstream media, including sometimes us on this show, has always alluded to that there would be a direct connection. So I got to ask you, how come Mueller didn't find that?
Yeah. you know, there was an awful lot of talk about, and that's all that we can really say, is what's called rumor and innuendo that Mueller was going to go after Deutsche Bank and figure out what happened there. And then suddenly he was, you know, again, what the rumor and innuendo is that the president or someone from his team came to him and says, if you go there, we're shutting this whole thing down. And I think he got a bit too hot for the water and he just kind of had to back up and just say, OK, this is as far as I can go that I know for sure that I'll be alive and be around and be actually to publish. This is what I'm going to go with. I think the Southern District of New York can probably even go further and find out what happened with Deutsche Bank, what happened with all of those dealings in Russia for a Trump Tower in Moscow and all the other types of things that they were wanting to do over there. And I think this type of aspect is going to be incredibly clear once all the dust settles. And right now we're just in the dust and when it comes to other aspects of it. But the Mueller report really gives us a matter of fact that, you know, this is why I did this investigation and this is what I found. And we got a big, big page of, you know, I guess you might be able to call it a book, which has a lot of pages and hence the name of book, to really comb through and to figure out what's, you know, what was what and what did what and all this and that.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was almost, when I looked at the actual four-page summary, I was like, man, this summary is kind of intense. And at the same time, it kind of made me think, Drew, what if the summary starts off with, in a woods, in a larch, in a hole, lives a hobbit? And I mean, that's just like, is that where this whole thing goes?
Well...
Because it does seem to start like that. Don't get me wrong. They're like in a hole, really in a gulag, in a country called Russia, there lives a troll. I mean.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, I was getting the same feeling looking over it. I go, if this isn't a novel, just get to the point. But, you know, that's like, my goodness. But yeah, I guess as you know, mind-numbing some of these things can be, you have to spice it up in some way, and maybe they were trying to draw in some sort of an audience, but it was just like you said. I mean, they got right to the point about, I don't know, what, maybe the second page in, when he says there's two things that I was looking for, and this is what they were. And so that kind of summed it up one way or the other.
Yeah, because as long as we're talking about summaries, the summary was actually written by Bob Barr and Rob Rosenstein, who, for some strange reason, is still kicking it around D.C., even though Trump told him and everybody else, you're out of here, you're fired.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I'm going to say that this part of what we've learned in the Mueller investigation is, in fact, a very, very good thing. Now, here's the part that is going to probably rub some people the wrong way. Because...
Sure.
A lot of mainstream media, a lot of people that have talked to me in the grocery store, in the streets, or everything like that, they're always about Mueller is going to get Trump. He's going to get Trump. Here's the most important thing that we've learned from this report. It was not a witch hunt. He did not go after information specifically to hurt the president. He went after the truth. This is not unequivocally a witch hunt. We can establish that in fact now, can't we?
Yes. And I really hope that a thinking person could assess that and say, look, he didn't go after this guy because he had an axe to grind or anything like that. He had objectives and he went after those objectives. And what was it, like close to 40 people were indicted, and several have gone to jail, and several people have been prosecuted. Russian intelligence, Russian people who were involved with the IRA have gone to be prosecuted. He took his time. He's an investigator. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. And you know what? If some people are upset by what happened, you had a bent and you wanted something to really take place here. But if there was something there, I in my heart of hearts, I have a feeling that Mueller would have found it in some way, shape, or form. But I do think that he probably did get a little close with Deutsche Bank, and there might have been some sort of cutoff there, and said, okay, this is what I'm going to look for. But no, there's no witch hunt. I mean, the whole aspect of a witch hunt was just a good way by Trump to try to discredit Bob Mueller. And anybody who is just reasoned thought on this can say, this is not a witch hunt.
Yeah, because when it comes to witch hunts, if this were, in fact, a witch hunt, we would have to say, holy crap, witches are real. Because I'm not saying that he kicked up a couple of them. I'm saying that Bob Mueller, during the course of this investigation, basically mule kicked a bee's nest of activity. And in his report, here's the great thing about it, he basically exonerated the special counsel itself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting take on that. Yeah, I never really thought of that. That's
why
that's kind of what he did, yeah. Yeah.
Every so often I have a thought and it turns out to be okay.
That was a good one because, you know, he's not out for any kind of, I mean, what axe to grind does Bob Mueller have over Trump? I mean, you could see it if it was Comey, because he just got fired by the guy, but Mueller doesn't have this type of thing. So I don't know, you know, people are saying this is a witch hunt. I go, what planet are you living on? He gave you the facts and that's just what it was. People have been indicted. People have been prosecuted. People are going to jail that had any kind of connection whatsoever with any of this. So that's really the end of it. But when it does come to witch hunts, and I do think that, you know, people try to say that this was a long investigation and it took too much time and spent all this money and, you know, just for this. Well, let me just remind people that Congress from 2012 or even 2013 to 2016 spent, and it was controlled by the Republicans, spent six investigations going over Hillary Clinton and the Benghazi assault that happened on that compound. They spent six investigations by congressional Republicans. There were four others done, a grand total of 10 investigations on this. And they came to find out nothing, not a single thing to implicate Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or Bill Clinton or anybody else within the Obama administration. That was a witch hunt.
You know,
this was not.
Did you just try to invent a new word where somebody goes looking for information and finds unrelated information that's still devious? In other words, impliclintons?
I didn't mean to, but I think I did.
Yeah, we're going to keep that. Impliclintonication. Because this is one of the things. You know, I'm a big fan of pop culture. Well, there was this lovely series not too long ago on Amazon that was about politics in D.C. It was called Alpha House. And yes, there was a gay Republican in there, and I always kind of thought of him to be Lindsey Graham. But this is the thing about that show. One of the women who was on the Republican side was making jokes about how she wanted the Benghazi committee to become a permanent committee within Congress. And there was a lot of jokes and stuff thrown around, but here's the problem. That joke got written because Republicans were seriously trying to keep pressure on the Clintons through the Benghazi scandal, even though that horse had died, deteriorated, turned to dust, joined the ethos, got reincarnated as a frog on the other side of the world, died again, got turned into bones and dust, and that's where they're still kicking it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened here. I mean, there was no question that this was meant to hurt Hillary in the 2016 presidential campaign. That's why it wrapped up in December of 2016. So if she was still president, if she was president.
Are you a time traveler?
I should be.
Are you from another reality? Where's my Drew? I need Drew from Earth 616 here.
If she was president, this investigation would continue to happen. And it's just oddly enough that as soon as Trump wins, I don't really care that much about Benghazi anymore. Don't care. Which that is just the heart of why that was a witch hunt and the whole scandal was a hoax. And this whole thing here with dealing with the attack on our country during our own election was incredibly wrong, and the investigation was looking for facts. That's what this was about. These are two different things. It's just the one side of the political spectrum can't get over one, and so they try to make the other one look bad. This is just where it's party politics at its worst.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the funny thing is because we're going to hit a break before we even get to read the letter that Bob Barr sent. But here's the thing that I want to bring up, because as long as we're talking about witch hunts and things like this, one of the most interesting things that they did find is that Russia had a vested interest in Donald Trump winning. However, in the report, we don't know yet because we don't have the full report. Does it say what particular foreign policy they were interested in manipulating by manipulating the United States election? Or was this just a case of, they hate Americans, screw with their election, give them orange man with personality of asshole Cheeto for president?
You know, I think it... I think it had something to do with, I honestly believe, and I can only speculate till I read the full report, which hopefully, you know, that will come out very soon. But I can only speculate to say that I'm thinking Putin did not want Hillary Clinton to be president. I think it had more to do with her losing as it did with Trump winning. And I don't think he wanted to deal with a woman who, well, deal with a woman for one, and two, deal with one who would stand up to him on a number of things. And I think that has, I don't think that played well.
You know,
that's just my thought.
That's your hot take on it. My hot take is Merkel, hello. He already has a very strong woman that's just like, no, you know.
I don't think you wanted another one, you know.
True, true. But here's the thing. It wasn't just a one-time affair, because this is the thing. Back in, summer of 2016, during the course of the election, Vladimir Putin on Vladimir Putin's state television, you know, during those times of, let's talk to President Putin and ask questions and hope that he gives us answers so that we as people could be a better country. You know, they have that whole thing going on where Putin and other leaders, they'll have these shows, which amount to little more than fluff piece press conferences. Well,
yep.
During this fluff piece press conference, oh God, we've hit the break. During this fluff piece press conference, here's the thing. Donald Trump was vindicated by Vladimir Putin, who said, I have no interest in their country. When we get back, I'll tell you how much not interest they actually had, Drew.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, we'll take a break and get back to it more in just a sec. Stay close. It's the Shaggy Jenkins Show.
This is Scientific American's 60 Second Science. I'm Bob Hirshon. If you're a skunk or fox or a very strange person and you poke your nose under a rock in the desert southwest looking for something to eat, you might be surprised to see dozens of bright blue and red beetles scurrying to and fro. And you might be really curious as they quickly turn their butts towards you. But the curiosity wouldn't last long. A couple thousandths of a second later, a fusillade of boiling hot toxic spray would drive off both you and your musings. The insects with the spraying butts are fittingly named bombardier beetles, and they can fire off 500 pulses per second of caustic defensive chemicals. What also makes them unusual is that even though the nocturnal beetles are solitary by night, dozens or even hundreds of them, of various bombardier species, snuggle together under rocks during the day.
It's actually a fairly unusual phenomenon for different species to regularly associate with one another.
University of Arizona entomologist Wendy Moore.
But these guys are sheltering together, and they're actually doing it intentionally. You know, because they have more options. There's plenty of options within the habitat that they could actually segregate out by species, and they don't.
In fact, when Moore and her colleagues put beetles into a setting where they had cozy, solitary hiding places, as well as hiding places already packed with other beetles, the newcomers invariably chose to shelter with others under the crowded rocks. The study is in the journal PLOS One. Moore says buddying up may help protect the insects from predators.
Bombardier beetles produce benzoquinones, which are really powerful as a matter of defense. But these other beetles produce other kinds of defensive chemicals that probably contribute to a big chemical cocktail for a vertebrate predator that might find them during the day.
In addition, a lone beetle, no matter how brightly colored, might not scare off a predator as effectively as a whole bunch of beetles.
If you imagine being a predator, even a human, turning over a rock and seeing hundreds of these blue and red beetles going in every direction, that serves as a bigger advertisement to them of their toxicity. It may help them be able to avoid attack.
So whatever you can say about an encounter with these fearsome little insects, you can't say that you weren't warned. Thanks for listening. For Scientific American's 60 Second Science, I'm Bob Hirshon.
Get involved, get informed. This is the Shaggy Jenkins Show on the Pacifica Radio Network.
It's the Shaggy Jenkins Show on the Pacifica Radio Network. Hi, welcome back. If you just now arriving here, Well, you should have called. We would have left a plate of food for you. For everybody else, hey, if you've not seen this show before or heard it, we're found, well, everywhere online. Just look for The Shaggy Jenkins Show on whatever podcast service you like, or your YouTubes, your Facebooks, and everything like that. Just look for at Shaggy Live. Now, joining me is a guy that has never been called Drew Live before because he's so lively, nobody has ever had to doubt that. Please welcome from the District of West Texas, educator and former politician and all-around swell guy, Drew Landry.
Hey, good to be back. I'm here again.
I know, you're like, we're back. The FCC didn't win. Okay.
And no.
Which, by the way, I should probably preface this part of the show by saying, if you guys ever watched us actually doing the show in its real time, you would discover that Shaggy has some very interesting things to say during the break. And if you've ever wanted to do that, just follow me at social media, at Shaggy Live, because we had a fun discussion about the FCC during the break.
Agreed.
Yes. But moving on from human beanbag targets on to an actual human beanbag, Donald Trump, lumpy and frumpy as he is, has been enjoying a little sedentary victory as of late. It's almost like the Wright College dorm picked him up and put him in the only non-urine-stained carpet in the entire quad. Now, it doesn't necessarily make him the belle of the ball, is what I'm saying. It just means that he's not as damned as a lot of people thought he was. But we do have to talk about the things that happened during the 2016 election that now, thanks to the Mueller report, we can say probably wasn't coordinated by the president.
Yeah.
I like how you were the one in shock. You were like, oh, yeah, that happened. Oh, my God. We're in a post-report world now, Drew. Birds have come back to the prairie lands. I saw a rainbow the other day for the first time in years. I mean, life as we know it is kind of returning to life.
A bit of normalcy, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's just, you know, I don't have a whole lot more to really add than what we've already talked about so far when it comes to this. It's just the fact that, you know, here we are with this bit of information that we can finally move on and say, okay, here's the facts and here's what we need to do with it. And, we're going to have to see the full report to get some sort of an aspect about the obstruction and why he can't implicate and why he can't,
exonerate
him and, you know, why he can't do one or the other. But I'm interested in that, and I'm interested in why he says that there was no collusion with the Russian government. So, but we definitely know that WikiLeaks was involved, and we definitely know that the Russians were involved, and that type of thing is an attack on our country. That's an affront to our own democratic republic, and so that's a big problem. And I think the president owes it to us and his election and this whole country to go after Russia. Now, we'll see if that actually happens. Let's not hold our breath. Let's not hold our breath.
Drew, do you know how good the president is on not doing the right thing? We just had Congress press North Korea with some pretty heavy sanctions before Trump took to Twitter and said, nah, I like that little guy. Let's not sanction them. Your president has spoken.
Yep.
Here's the thing. Let's talk about what things did in fact happen. And we're going to start off from the Russian side. Now, this is the thing. Starting off, this is the summary coming from Bob Barr's report on the Mueller report. Let me see if I can read this verbatim. It might be a little long for verbatim. So let's just start off like this. It says, in summary, the special counsel's report is divided into two parts. The first describes the results of Russia's involvement in meddling public opinion through the Internet Research Agency. Now, before we move on to part two, Drew, can we explain how clever, how smart Russia was during the summer of 2016. And oh, by the way, I guess I should throw this out there because I used to have a show called How Dumb Is America? How incredibly stupid Americans were during that time online. How can we? How do we put those two together?
You know, I think they figured out that if you say something about this candidate, then these sets of people are going to come up and then try to attack it and discredit it and share it and spread it. Or if you say the same thing about the other candidate, then the same side will attack it and discredit it and share it and whatever else. And so this is what was going on. You saw a whole host of misinformation, just flat out what is what the president calls fake news. I mean, that's exactly what it was. And we're not just talking about memes or GIFs or any. I mean, you know, these are posts that were seemed real, seemed to be somewhat of a, you know, from a credible site, but these were just complete and utter, you know, falsehoods. And social media is a great place to share information and to, you know, update people as to what you're up to and all that sort of stuff. And so this is what people did. They'd see something that fell right into their narrative. They'd click the share button. They'd add their 2 cents, and then off to the races you go. And then you'd see more shares and more shares and going in this direction and that direction. And so the Russians figured this out. You know, I they had these are very not smart people. Not with the vodka. They drink the whiskey. You know, with, so.
I mean, good attempt. Good attempt.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Here's the stuff. You know, and have at it. That's exactly. And we just ran with it. You know, and that's what the biggest part about the meddling. People say, you know, we'll look back at this and go, they got us through that. This is how they did this sort of thing. Well, let's also remember that it was the Russians who also hacked into the Clinton campaign email thing, and so all because of one of the head the upper echelons of the Clinton campaign clicked on an email, and suddenly the virus came in and took all the information, and they gave it to WikiLeaks. And so this is where you got all the information about all those lost emails and all these other lost emails and all these other things that were on the server. So it's, you know, all of these just crazy things that people just go, this is, you know, yeah this is real stuff, and this is really what's happening, and this is a corrupt, you know, candidate, and da 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 da. It was all the Russians the entire time, every single time. And we got stupid, and we just got duped by them. And there's no other explanation than that. We have to just say, you know, get our heads out of the sand, pull it up, and say, you know what, we fell for it, and we need to learn this lesson. The lesson is, don't believe everything you read.
Yeah, because I just want to go ahead and throw this out there. This Please. Is an example of hacking, social hacking. A lot of people always assume that when we talk about Russia's hacking the 2016 election, that we mean, just like you brought up, the second part of the investigation, the part where it said, hey, Russia did indeed engage in computer counter-surveillance and surveillance, and even broke into email servers and disseminated that information out to WikiLeaks, to other sources. That part, everybody understands. It's just like that movie in the 90s, Hackers. They think that people go and they type really, really fast, words fly on the screen, and then all of a sudden, boom, you have what you want. The truth of the matter is, Drew, here's the scariest part of the things that we learned from this report summary, is that the United States is amazingly gullible, and in so much as, and I actually brought this up the other day when everybody was talking about the Florida Man Challenge, that's not a game, people. That's a phishing scam. Now they have your birthday. Congratulations. You've just given hackers information.
Yeah.
How did they do it? Did they break into your computer? No, they hacked you, the person. They took it from your brain willingly by manipulating your feelings. And people do not understand not only the validity of social hacking, but also the effectiveness. Now, Drew, would you say on a scale of 1 to 100 that the Russia IRA social influence program during the summer of 2016 was closer to the top than the bottom?
Yeah, absolutely. Top 100.
Okay, yeah. I'll take 100. I will take 100. Because that is exactly what happened. They were able to manipulate us as people, not our equipment, not our fancy defense systems that we spend millions of dollars on. They broke in to us. We were the problem. So here's the thing. With this report out now, and me, of course, with my urge to always tell people, ha-ha, how do we actually say, hey, America, stop being so gullible?
Yeah. Boy, I don't know how to do that one. But I have some steps as to what might be able to actually help us is to look at this, you know, whatever information that you think is too good to be true. I think one of the easiest things to ever do is just to simply Google it or to use Yahoo or do a search engine search in some way. And if something comes up and says, or this is fake or it's not real or nothing comes up about it, perhaps, just perhaps, it's been made up. Or check out some of the online fact checkers and go from there. You know, your first thing whenever you see anything on there is not to so much is to believe it or to discredit it, but to be somewhat skeptical of what you see. I think that's just a smart way to go with it. I mean, I share a lot of information. I will do that on a daily basis. I think people ought to go, well, let me just think here. Is this, a real thing? Or, how much should I, put into this, consider the source, all that. That's a healthy dose of skepticism, even that you can do to even me. I think we need to do that to everybody, especially these challenges and all these other types of things that sound like they're a lot of fun. And, that would be neat to find out what this Florida man did and all this other type of stuff. That's not a, you're giving them the information.
Yeah.
You're giving them the information.
You are literally puking up all of your personal data every day. That is a scary world that we live in.
Yes. And we have to not, I don't know. I mean, you said it earlier. We have to not be so gullible and we have to take everything with a grain of salt and not think that it's straight from, whatever type of source that would be considered holy and great.
Yeah. Because as long as we're talking about holy and great, I kind of want to jump over on this story real quick. And here's the thing, Drew. George Pompeo, you know him. He's the Secretary of State right now. Well,
correct.
He has some fans on the Christian Broadcasting Network. I bet you didn't even know there was a Christian Broadcasting Network, some of you people.
I did, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, of course, you're from Texas. That's literally, that is their
it's
program.
It's Channel 4 over here.
right? Like, they give it away in libraries. Okay, here's the thing. CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network, sat down and did an interview with Mike Pompeo. And I don't want to say that the level of religious sycophancy around the president is disgusting. I will say that it should have given America a stomach tumor that killed us long ago. And just to prove how cancerous this is, keep in mind, if you're a Christian, and don't get me wrong, I am not, so I'm not going to make assumptions, but I'm going to ask Drew because I need to torture somebody with this. Drew,
okay.
If you are, in fact, a Christian, doesn't that mean you follow the teachings of one Jesus Christ? Therefore, the name Christian is derivative of his last name, Christ. Did I miss something?
No, that's the basic gist of it, yeah.
Okay, so could you explain to me how CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network, in an interview with Mike Pompeo, basically started lauding, and this is before the report was released, by the way, started lauding on Pompeo, saying, are these things that are happening to the president because he is such a man of God? And this is the part where I'm going to stop talking, and I'm going to let you give Pompeo's answer. What did he say when asked, is Trump a man of God?
Yeah, he kind of went along with that. It was just, I don't know. I'm trying to dissect this in a lot of ways here, but yeah, he said, yep, is one. And I saw the interview. There's a reason that it came on, as I was waiting for the basketball games to come on, and this happened to be on beforehand. And I was like, well, this seems interesting. So there it was. And, you know, you're right. Whenever you say about how just so sycophant that they are to the Trump administration. And just a complete 180 of how they were to the Obama administration. It's just, you know, night and day as to how they treated this. But I want to get to this particular aspect as to, you know, why they're so loving of Trump. I've heard many other, you know, evangelicals really go on to the defense here and say, I don't like the man. I don't like his language. I don't like his personal life. What I'm here to vote for is the fact that he is pro-life and he is is pro-religious liberty, and that's what I'm taking away from it. That you know, he's not Obama when it comes to this stuff. And so, you know, when people and this is one story that they'll cite. They'll go, you know, recently in San Antonio, the San Antonio City Council said, Chick-fil-A, you're banned, get out of here because of their anti-LGBTQIA business dealings. What those evangelicals on the right will say, that right there is why I voted for Donald Trump. He would not do anything like that. And I get that. And
he called for investigations into Saturday Night Live.
And that doesn't bother them. No, I'm telling you, that doesn't bother the religious right. They care about Israel. They care about moving the capital to Jerusalem. They want Israel to be seen or recognized as having the property in the Golan Heights. And those are things that the president has said that he's going to do. And they think that is more important than personal character and his personal life and his three different marriages and his dealing with the porn star and dealing with the Playboy bunny. All of those things are all trumped by his helpfulness when it comes to Israel.
Okay, but he's not helping anybody, because on the world stage last week, when Donald Trump basically jumped the gun and recognized that Israel controlled a part that was not controlled by Israel on the international scale. I mean, every other country that is involved in these talks said, what the hell are you doing, America? That is not what we do.
Yeah.
But I want to bring up something very interesting. I don't think Donald Trump did this for Israel. Even though right now, Bibi, you know, Netanyahu, he is under an increasingly scrupulous kind of investigation that's going into everything from election fraud to money laundering.
Yep.
And when it comes to Bibi, you know, Mr. Netanyahu, him and Trump, I hate to say it, right now, they need each other because they've both screwed up majorly. And the only way they can save their reputation is to do this. Oh, all of a sudden, we own territory. Yay, Israel.
It's a neat distraction, isn't it? Yeah, it's a neat diversion to say, well, look, the United States says that that this land is ours, too. So and it's like, wait a minute here. We got to go a long bit of Middle Eastern history and a whole bunch of aspects as to what is this and what is that. And the mere fact that Israel is on the map has taken decades of negotiations that are bipartisan. That needs to be stated. This isn't just a one-party stance on this. It's bipartisan support of this country. And not to mention the fact that the other countries in there for the longest time didn't want to recognize Israel. I mean, this is a whole diatribe of a tangent that I can go on, but I'm going to try my best to not do that. So
thanks for saving me, you know. I mean, I like to be the one that goes on the weird diatribes, but do go on. I would love to see this.
But no, there's just so much of a long history when it comes to this particular issue. And the fact that Netanyahu, who could go to jail, all right, be impeached, be convicted, whatever type of removal that they have of office in the Israeli government, he could do all those things and be sent to jail. And it's like he needs a feather in his cap. He needs help from somebody. Who is feeling this with me? The guy who also thinks that everyone's after him, Donald Trump. And so let me use a lot of his rhetoric. And, Netanyahu went out on the stump and said, look, all these charges are fake, which, you know, fake news. It's using all of those particular terms that Trump has used time and time again. So this is, you know, these two are working together. And, you know, the religious right is perfectly fine with it because they like a harmonious, happy relationship between the United States and Israel. And they like the fact that if we are on Israel's side, nobody can be against us. And so that's the mentality. It's not, it has nothing to do with his own personal life. And I think, they've been taken advantage of as a political ploy for several elections. And they finally feel like, you know, this is our guy. If you look at some of the people who he's put on the federal bench, a lot of pro-life people and a lot of pro-religious liberty guys, they feel like that it's all paying off. So, you know, this is also going to be a thing that he's going to, you know, talk about in the 2020 campaign. I mean, look at what he's already talking about when it comes to Democrats. Late-term abortion, they're pro-infanticide. All of this type of stuff that spurs, as you stated earlier, the one with the spoon controls the power. He's stirring up, trying to get his base excited for next year's election because the Democrats are going to have a candidate who's going to be more dynamic than Trump. But to be honest with you, my table is more dynamic than Trump.
Yeah, yeah. And the sad thing is I think that we've gonna run into the end of the show real quick. Okay, but real quick before we go, we got like 1 minute left here. I just want to ask you, how dangerous is it when cabinet officials are giving the president a supernatural level of authority? They are saying beyond normal man, he is of ethereal religiosity crap. And that makes him above laws of man. How dangerous is that?
That's incredibly dangerous. Nobody is above the law. No one is above the Constitution. And what I often like to state, because I will state for the record that I am a Christian, and so I know a lot of Bible verses. And so there's one in particular where Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar and give to God what is God's. What that inherently means is you follow the rules of the land. And you abide by those rules. And so for the fact that a cabinet official says that he is, you know, anointed by the supernatural and therefore is above the law is incredibly dangerous.
Very, very dangerous. Well, Drew, that's going to wrap up our show. Real quick, where can people find you online?
Oh, I'm hidden. You can't find me. No.
yeah. After that IRA thing, no.
Now I'm on Twitter. You can find me at Landry for West TX, and you can find me there on Instagram, on Twitter, on Snapchat. I even do that thing. I don't know what I'm doing though, and I'm even on Facebook on that thing too. You can, you know, friend request me, follow me on there. It's a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah. Well, for everybody here at the show, we've got to take a goodbye powder. But that doesn't mean that we won't be right back at this crap tomorrow, figuring out where the future of our country's going. Until then, though, try to stay sane. Try to educate yourself and to know what's legitimate and not. And remember this. Love you, mean it. Kaden, bye. We are out.